Welcome. Good afternoon, everyone that's coming in. We welcome you on behalf of Calvary Chapel Honolulu and Nancy Ramos and the family. We're here to celebrate the life of Pastor Jimmy Ramos, and a man that we loved greatly. I think everyone that's here, those that are watching over the webcast, he had a great impact on so many different people. And we just want to ask God's blessing on this service as we remember and we celebrate him. Let's pray. Father, it's with just such joy that we thank you for the life of Pastor Jim. And I thank you, Lord, that though those that are here, we grieve and we remember who he was, I can't help but to think about what he's experiencing right now in your presence. Your word tells us in Psalm 116, 15, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his godly ones. And in that, we thank you that Jim just exemplified just the love and the care for people. I don't think there's anyone that could have come into his presence and not felt that. And that was all by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we celebrate his life today. I pray, Father, that you would speak by your Spirit through Pastor Bill. Lord, that as we do celebrate the life of Jim, people would just think on just the goodness of who you were through him. And so, Father, we thank you for this service. Blessed be glorified. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen.
My Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came in from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. 'Cause you lived, you died, you rose again on high, you opened up the Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came in from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. 'Cause you lived, you died, again on high, you opened up the way for the world to live again. 'Cause you lived, you died, you rose again on high, you opened up the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord.
understand your worth in humble majesty, revealing in the face of Christ your glory, God. As I draw near, as I
Scott Cunningham. He was a really good friend of Jim's. A very good friend. They worshiped together and everything. Just that last song that we sang. We love you, Jim.
For we know the truth, your truth has set us. Paid it all. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains are broken, eyes are open, Christ is with us. Christ is with us. Open wide the gates of heaven, fill our hearts as we surrender. Spirit of the Lord is, chains are broken, eyes are open, Christ is with us, Christ is with us, Christ is with us, Christ is with us.
Thank you for your presence, Lord.
At this time, we'll have the eulogy.
James Allen Ramos went to be with the Lord February 28th, 2022. He left behind a legacy of devotion, service, and love to his Savior Jesus Christ. He was born in Covina, California, November 26th, 1946, to Charles and Myrtle Ramos. Ramos. He graduated from Baldwin Park High School and studied music in college. It was during his late teen years when Jimmy trusted Christ as a savior through his loving guidance of his aunt and uncle. As a young man, Jimmy was always drawn to working in restaurants, starting out scrubbing mats at a local cafe down the street from his house. He quickly worked his way up to being a chef, which led to his adventures on trains. He had such love for trains, and he enjoyed hours of creating meals and cooking for many special people, always finding a way to nourish their souls as well. In 1968, he was married to Joanna and two earthly children, Lee and Malia, and one heavenly baby, Wendy. In October 2005, Jim married Nancy, gaining six more children, their spouses and many grandchildren, and recently two great-grandchildren. Jimmy was involved in many ministry roles. In 1979, he was ordained as a pastor with Calvary Chapel, Lake Arrowhead, fulfilling the role as a youth pastor. He was also a senior pastor at Green Valley Lake Church and worked many years at the Calvary Chapel Conference Center in Twin Peaks and the youth camp in Green Valley Lake, totaling 44 years. Most recently, being on staff at Calvary Chapel Honolulu in Hawaii. Other ministries included the Armor of Light, Boys Republic, Men's Bible Studies, Prayer Groups, Men's Coffee, Taco Tuesday, where he served joyfully and faithfully. Jimmy is known for his Hawaiian shirts, gentle eyes, mischievous smile, the way he played the organ and hummed a tune while working, his teasing sense of humor in those JR sandwiches, and who will be able to forget his special 4.5 finger wave? But most of all, Jimmy is known for his tender love and his Lord and Savior and his unconditional love and grace to those around. Jimmy is preceded in death by his mom and dad, Charles and Myrtle, his siblings, Charlene and Fred and Claudia. Billy Graham once said, "The greatest legacy one can pass on is one's children and grandchildren is not the money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith." Thank you, Jimmy, for loving each one of us and passing this legacy on to all those who knew you.
Thank you. We need to pray for our pastor. That's him over there with a horse in his throat. And we need to pray for him because I think he's Lolo. He asked me to come up here again after twice this morning. This church is hurting, that's all I gotta say. I remember Bud when he was 5 years old. How old are you now? 21? 21, yeah, okay. He lies too. I thought we didn't do it on Wednesdays. Oh, this is Sunday. Oh.
I'm gonna hug you with my good arm, Jim.
Bill said,
do the tithes and offerings now?
Yeah, do you want to give them to me or what?
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Sing worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And in Hawaiian?
Ho'onani kama kua mau. Keike ki meka uhane no. Ke kua mai kai ho'o mai kai pu. Ko ke la au, ko ke la au. Amen.
And give your hearts to the Lord. Let Him speak to you tonight through His Word. But we need to be that light that gives hope to our world. And I think we need to change that around. We need to be praying and not playing so much. We need to take it serious and ask God to use you and to light you and keep that candle burning in your heart and be a light for Jesus Christ. That's what He wants with us.
Okay, what I was saying is I don't think we thought when they put it together, I didn't think about happened to or speaking after seeing the videos of him, but here we go. Jim's favorite verse was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And that's how he lived his life. You know, he trusted in the Lord all the time. And I don't think there was anything that he did that he didn't run by what God's word says about it. Today is a day of great rejoicing because our beloved Jimmy is with his Lord and Savior. But it's also a time of deep sorrow because we're going to miss him. We're going to miss his smile. We're going to miss his gentle spirit. We're going to miss the way he listened. And he knew how to listen. He would often, you would hear him say, you know, there's a reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Yep. And he used that. He used that good. We're going to miss his, the way he loved people, just simply loved people. And that love was unconditional. He showed us unconditional love and grace. The greatest gift God has given us is the forgiveness of our sins through salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's the grace that Jim showed us. And he never forgot in his own life how the forgiveness that the Lord gave him in showing grace to him. And he was the first one to always show grace to other people. I can remember, I can't ever remember him ever complaining, ever griping, ever doing anything. I do remember one time we were coming into work, and I remember on the way in, I remember saying, I was grumbling about something. And he just looked at me, and he kind of smiled, and he said, "Do you really want to ruin my day too?" And I still remember that. And I remember that after that, thinking, gee, I never realized that when we grumble and we complain, we not only ruin our day, but we ruin everybody else's day that's around us. And it makes us miserable. And Jim just had a very kind way of correcting and directing. And I'm going to miss that. You're going to miss that when you don't see me being so kind. Shortly after my first husband died, the Lord had told me that I would marry again. But it was a while after that, he began to show me different things. And one of the things he told me was that the man that I was to marry would love my children, and he did abundantly. And that he would love the Lord more than he loved me. And I remember at first when I heard that, I thought, But I want him to love me. But then I realized, man, if he loved the Lord more than he loved me, could you imagine how much he's going to love me? And he did. And it was a good thing because nothing in his life would ever change that love he had for me or for anybody else. We all know about, you know, the 1 Corinthians love, you know, the patient, kind, jealous. It's not jealous, doesn't brag. When you read that through, that's the kind of love that the Lord showed Jim. That's the kind of love that Jim followed, that the Lord gave him and gave us all. And that's how he loved not just me, but that's how he loved every one of you. There is not one person that he ever said any unkind thing, ever thought any unkind thing. He loved you all. But what I know from knowing Jimmy is that if he was here today, he would tell me, "Nancy, you got it all wrong." I think he would say, It wasn't the way I loved them. It's the way they loved me. Because his focus was never on himself. His focus was always on everybody else. And I love that about him. He would say that you welcomed him in to your ohana. And he loved you before he came here, and he loved you even more after he got to know you. So today, I honor Jimmy for the godly man that he was and say thank you from him for loving him and for loving both of us the last 3 years. And you guys have been a blessing in our lives, and I know in Jimmy's life. Thank you.
Did you want to stand for a moment? By the way, that was Jim's favorite song, if it was one of his favorite songs, but He really loved that song. So thank you so much for being here. And boy, Jim was a big part of so many lives here at Calvary Chapel. Jim and Nancy came over about 3 years ago, and really I knew Jim was just a premier chef, and I didn't know Nancy was such an incredible baker, so we got two folks over here for the cafe. You could be seated now, I think you're. One of the things that I knew about Jim, me and Danita, we knew him up at Twin Peaks about 45 years ago. So we've known him for 45 years and been just friends. And 3 years ago, I texted him and said, you want to come over here and help us out with our cafe? And so he said, well, I have to talk with Nancy. They talked until 1 in the morning from what he mentioned to me. And they said, yeah, we think this is the Lord. So they came over. One of the things about Jim that that I wanted him over here, not just because he's just an excellent cook, but because of his spirit, just who he is. I've never known a man that is more tender-hearted than Jim, and he's probably one of the nicest. He is the nicest man I've ever known, really. And so brought him over here just for who he was. And, of course, Nancy, what a beautiful wife she is as well. You know, one of the things about living and dying, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die. And, you know, I was thinking as I was looking at the clock here, we usually have a countdown for when we're going to start. It said, we will begin, you know, 5 minutes, 24 seconds, 23, 22. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, you know what? That's God's time for Jim. Jim, you've got 5 minutes, then 25 seconds, 24, 23. Every one of us has got a clock in heaven, and that's really when it all begins. This is so temporary here on earth. But to be with the Lord, that is permanent. Now, it's not that our hearts don't mourn. I see the pictures of Jim, and they kind of just jump off the page of who Jim is. And the sheet that you have, it's like you look at Jim and it's like he's there. I know what he's going to say. I know how we're going to interact. And you've probably heard the phrase that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, we're not quite like that here at Calvary Chapel and with the guys. Mostly it's kidding one another is the sincerest form of flattery. And Jim was great at that as well. But the Bible does tell us there is a time to be born, there's a time to die. But the Bible also tells us that God knows us from the inside out. He's known us from the foundation of time. He knows when you're going to leave planet Earth and face Him. And as much as we prayed for Jim, boy, I almost insisted with God. I said, God, don't let Jim die. Almost, not your will, God, but my will be done. I mean, you never pray like that, but for me, I just thought, you know what? They're going to retire. They're going to go to Florida. They got a place, and I said, God, don't let him go, and yet God did, and I'm totally satisfied with that, and I know Nancy's totally satisfied with that, because when you pray with faith. You pray with insistence. You pray with just determination. And that's what so many of us did, and I know I myself did, and then God thought better. God thought, no, it's time for Jim to go. So we're totally satisfied with that. But the Bible tells us in Psalm, it says, for thou dost disform my inward parts. Thou dost weave me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, or woven together out of the sight of human eyes. Thine eyes have seen my unformed parts, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were not one of them. God knew the exact day when Jim would be born and when he was going to take him home to be with him. God knows us as well. There's like a time clock in heaven. And your time will come, my time will come. And you see, for a Christian, for a born-again Christian like Jim, you rejoice in that. The family who knows the Lord rejoices in that. I know Jim was 75, and I'm basically Jim's big brother because I'm 16 months older than Jim. And I know that a lot of us became dear family to Jim. But God knows our days, and God knew when God was going to bring Jim home to be with himself. You know, one of the things that we know is death is always bittersweet. It's sweet when you have the hope of heaven, but it's bitter if you don't. When Lazarus, who was a friend of Jesus, so was Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, when he died, Jesus had word of him being sick, and yet the Lord delayed his coming. And finally, when he showed up, it was 4 days that Lazarus had been in the tomb. And Martha met him there. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. She met him and said, "Lord, why weren't you here? You could have healed him." And then she kind of, in a sense, maybe she thought, well, maybe not all hope is lost. And still, I know that you could do whatever you ask. And Jesus, well, she actually said, Jesus said, "I am. Your brother shall live again." And then she said, I think what a lot of people will say, and they really don't know what they're saying, when somebody dies, they'll say, well, they're in a better place. I don't know about that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I do know about that, because sometimes we say things that we don't really know what we're saying. We're trying to have comfort to a person. But if the comfort isn't a reality, it's just they're just words. And that's what Mary said. She said, well, I know when we're all resurrected in the last days. And she was basically talking about at the end of time, the wicked and the righteous will be raised and be judged. She was just mouthing what she'd heard, you know, what the theologians were saying. And Jesus, he came back to her and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, here is somebody that's grieving over her brother, and Jesus puts her on the spot. She's talking spiritual things, but she really doesn't know what she's talking about. She's saying what she's heard other people say. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe this, Martha?" Really putting her on the fence, because it's really the difference between somebody that has hope and somebody that has no hope. You see, God always puts us in a place where we're going to go one side or the other of the fence. He doesn't want us to stay on the fence. Yes, I do believe, or no, I don't believe. And she doesn't necessarily answer that, but she leaves to go get her sister Martha after that. But you see, it's not a pie-in-the-sky hope. Some people think, well, you just hope that. I hope other things. No, this is a living hope. The Bible tells us that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ, who's raised from the dead. It's not just a hope pie in the sky. It's because Jesus Christ, the fact, the evidence that he's raised from the dead. That's why we miss Jim, and I wish he was here, but I rejoice that he's with the Lord. He's now come to that place that Jesus said that he's with him. But the Bible goes on to say, to obtain, and this is what Jim's obtained, an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, Jim had a reservation in heaven, and God said, "Jim, your table's ready. Come on home." And he took him home. Now, we prayed. We didn't want that because we love to have Jim around. Just love his presence. But God said, no, now's the time. And then it goes on, the Bible says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. So here, that salvation that Jim experienced, and we all who are born again, as the Bible says, who live and believe in Jesus Christ. Well, what you find here is when Mary comes, she pretty much says the same thing that Martha said. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. So obviously when Jesus was away and the brother was fading from that sickness into death, they were talking together. Why wasn't Jesus here? He could have saved our brother. He didn't have to die. And so that whole scenario, you can imagine when you get together, hurt creates a lot of different emotions. One of them is anger. One of them is maybe accusation. Why wasn't he here kind of thing? But you see, the Lord has planned things out. And when Mary came and said the same thing, she fell at Jesus' feet. Martha, she was a little more in-your-face kind of woman. Why weren't you here? You could have healed him. But Mary, at his feet, Lord, why weren't you here? You could have healed him. And Jesus said, well, where have you laid him? Where is he? And so they took him to the tomb there. He's actually, back then, the graves were not like we have today. They were carved out in a mountain and then a stone put over it. So it was kind of a cave that you'd put that body in and put the stone so nobody could defile that cave. And so they brought him to that place, and there was the cave there, and he said, remove the stone. And they said, Lord, it's been 4 days. At this time, Martha said, by this time he stinks. The corruption would have begun in his body. And so he said, no, roll away the stone. And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus, with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. A loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. Not because Lazarus was hard of hearing, but he was dead. And Jesus was making a point with those around. He had prayed to the Father, but he didn't pray for his own sake. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what the Father was going to do. But he prayed for the people's sake so that they might believe, that they might know that there is a resurrection and a life. There's a life after this life. That's why I prayed. That's why he said that. One commentator said he had to cry out, Lazarus, come forth, because if he just said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have emptied. But he came forth, and then he was wrapped with the grave clothes from head to toe, and he told the disciples to untie him and release him. And so here, that resurrection of, it really wasn't a resurrection. A resurrection is when our body is gone, our spirit's gone, and the spirit goes to what is called Sheol, or the grave, or for the Christian, goes to be with the Lord. And a resurrection is that old body being raised in a newness of life in an eternal body. Lazarus was just resuscitated in the same old body. He had to die again. And so Jesus is giving us this whole idea that hope in the eternal life. You know, one of the things that the Bible says about us, and when you get older, you begin to realize this, but the Bible says that this body, it's just housing our spirit and our soul in the body. It's really just animating who you are. It's like a glove. You can put a glove down. Unless you put your hand in it, it's not animated. But your body is animating who you are, your personality, your soul. Now, you're a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. But you see, if you're not born again of the spirit, if Christ hasn't come into your life, your spirit is dormant. It's dead. And so you animate your soul, your personality. But a spiritual person animates, first of all, that spiritual part of them that Christ has given, which has really dictated who their personality is. I think that's why Jim, in just his presence, you loved it, because you saw that sense of God's presence in Jim coming out of him. So great, so fun to be around. I would usually, when Jim was in there, I'd go sit with Jim. I want to talk with Jim. I want to talk and fellowship with Jim. You see, the Bible says this body is a tent. In fact, the Bible says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house or our body, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what Jim is experiencing right now, that eternal heavenly body. You see, when the Bible talks about our body being a tent, if you're a camper, I know the kids, actually Carrie's out with the kids now, a couple hundred of the students out there camping out on the North Shore. But camping is fun for a while, for a while. But then after a while, you can camp. I don't know how much you can endure with camping, maybe a few days, maybe a week or so, I don't know. But then you want to get home to your house, your bed, the comforts of home. You see, that's what the Bible is indicating to us. This is just a tent. And the older you get, you find that the tent doesn't work like it used to. We saw some pictures of Jim when he was young. But, you know, in the last days, that the tent was tearing. The tent stakes were being pulled up a little bit. Jim wasn't the guy that he knew he was when he was younger. And neither are we, the older we get. You see, and so what God does when he realizes the tent or this body can express who we are and our personality and our hope and our love and remembering names, that kind of thing, God folds up the tent and he says, I've got a new home for you, a new home. And that's what Jim is experiencing. Right now, he's experiencing it. But I'm still going to miss him. You're still going to miss him. We are going to miss him because, you know, there's an absence there. But, you know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. You see, we got to have a greater riches in heaven right now, don't we? With our loved ones that have gone, and now Jim's gone. I'm sure he's hanging out with Pastor Chuck right now, his pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith. One of the things that I think Jim has it over on Chuck, if anything, he's got more Aloha shirts than Chuck. Man, did he have some great Aloha shirts. And I think Nancy made tablecloth out of them and stuff. Yeah, right up here. Yeah, wow, wonderful. Just a couple more things, and then we close. You know, the Bible asks us, well, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? You see, we're so used to this flesh and blood, and we don't really understand in totality what it is to this body be buried or died, and what comes forth out of it, God creating a whole new body. Oh, we'll be able to identify one another. We're not going to be dumber in heaven than we are here on earth. You know, we can identify one another here on earth, but in heaven, sure, we'll know each other. But the Bible tells us, for someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? And then Paul says, you fool. Not a very nice way to talk to your congregation. You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that's what you sow. You do not sow the body, which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body just as he wishes, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts and another of fish and another of birds. And there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of stars. And for star differs from star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body or incorruptible. You never die again. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Dishonor because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why it has that here. But we're raised in glory, sinless. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. We've got some beautiful flowers here, don't we? You got the torch ginger. You got the bird of paradise. You got the plumeria and a lot of other flowers. But you see, those flowers came from a seed. From a seed. And the seeds are not that beautiful. But the flowers surely are, aren't they? If you look at a gladiola bulb, they're kind of gnarly, aren't they? They're not really pretty. A gladiola, that's kind of like our bodies sometimes. That's maybe how God sees our body. But then you plant it, you put it in the earth, and what happens? It dies, and it breaks open, and life comes out of it, and that shoot begins to come out of the ground. It's kind of a white shoot, and it comes out as it hits the air, and it hits the atmosphere, and it's watered, it's green, and all of a sudden, it turns into a beautiful gladiola flower. Various colors, variegated colors. Beautiful pink and white and red and all sorts of colors. Well, that's what the body is. It's planted in weakness, it's raised in glory. And Jim, I mean, just looking at the pictures, it's like, here's the guy. But even more so in heaven, that guy is going to be glorious. He is glorious right now. The Bible also mentions, and just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The heavenly is an image of Jesus Christ. As he was raised from the dead, so too we will be raised from the dead. The Bible goes on and says, behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery is a sacred secret, something that they didn't know before, but now is going to be revealed. Here it is. Here it's revealed. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, Jim already knows that now. We're waiting to see that, aren't we? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You see, that's what Jim lived for. That's what I live for. That's what the people here at Calvary Chapel live for. And I don't know what your status is with the Lord, if you're a believer or you're not a believer. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I think Jim will give me a sock in heaven if I don't give an invitation for salvation for maybe some of the people that are here this afternoon. But you see, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops to come and know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all who come unto me, in no way will I cast out. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it's a belief thing. It's not a lot of gymnastics. I want you to jump up and come forward and do all this. I know sometimes we do ask people to come forward because it solidifies their faith. But I'm just going to ask you, you know, open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Or maybe you've been away from the Lord, and it's time for you to come back to the Lord. You know, the Bible says at a funeral, it's better for people to be at a funeral than at a party. At a party, they're rejoicing, but at a funeral, they're looking at their life, that they too, one day, will leave this life and go into the next. Then what? You see, for us, salvation is a sure thing, and we have that hope in heaven. And this is why when Jesus, as he was going to leave his disciples, he told them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, God has fulfilled his promise to Jim. He's now come back and taken Jim to be where he is. And we rejoice in that. And I hope you can. And I hope you will end and maybe acknowledge and maybe have this prayer in your heart as I pray. Father, I do just thank you so much for the impact that Jim has had on so many people, family, friends here at Calvary Chapel. Lord, I would just pray for those that he's been praying for. And I would pray, Lord, that there are those that might be here this afternoon. And maybe they have kind of toyed with Christianity, or maybe they've been on fire at one time and they've really cooled off. And Lord, I would just appeal to them, just with the heart of Jim, come back, come know the Lord. Just return and give your life afresh to him. And maybe those that really don't know the gospel, they've never committed their heart to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, never ask him to forgive their sins, never really understood that they do have a home in heaven as they trust in Jesus Christ. And the other place, there's no hope in that place. And so I would pray now, Lord, just saying, God, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I turn from my sin and I turn to you for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood that I could be forgiven. So now be my Lord, be my Savior, be my God, and be my friend. And fill me just now with your Holy Spirit. I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to tell others about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We like to end this day's service with Leah closing us out in a hula. Yeah.
Let's all stand, please. We just want to thank you. Just want to thank you so much for coming to Jim's his celebration of life. Don't mind me, guys, but I love that guy. But anyway, before we let you go, we have some sheets on the table. If you guys have any memories of Jim, please write them down for the Ramos family. Nancy would really appreciate it. So sorry for the tears, but anyway, please do that. We have sheets on the table. If you guys have a memory of Jim or something that you guys spoke about, something that was funny or what have you, anything, we got sheets. If you could just write those down. We have sheets on the back of the table, so please do so. We have food that's outside as well, too, guys. We have bentos and refreshments as well. But right now, let's actually pray. If you join me in prayer just for Jim's life and the Ramos family and our food as well, too. Father, just thank you so much for the life of Jim. And Lord, we miss him so much, but we know where he is. And we thank you that it's because of your son. It's because of Jesus. But Father, we thank you for welcoming him into your kingdom, Lord, through the belief in Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray, Lord, as Pastor Bill was speaking, I just pray if anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, their hearts would be turned, Lord, toward you, Lord, into repentance, Lord, into salvation, Lord, into the kingdom, just believing in your son and walking, Lord, in his way. So, Father, we do pray, Lord, for the life of Jim. Thank you again for the impact that he's made on so many people that are here, Lord, having an effect on our hearts as well, too, Lord, in fellowship and loving on him and him loving on us. And I pray, Lord, for strength upon the Ramos family, Lord, and Nancy. We just pray, Lord God, that you would just strengthen them and bring healing, Lord, to them, that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that we can't even understand, that we can't comprehend. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the gift, Lord, of your spirit to be upon us, and thank you again. Father, the food that we're about to receive, Lord, outside, we thank you, Lord, for the many hands that have prepared our food. Lord, we just pray. We pray that you would just bless our food, bless it to our bodies, Lord, and bring strength and healing to us, Lord, as well, in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. And we just thank you again, once again, for those that have prepared and are serving us, Lord. So, Father, as we fellowship together in love, Lord, in unity as a family, Lord, we love and praise you, Lord. We recognize you as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love and praise you. Keep us safe, Lord. Bind us all, Lord, together in love. Thank you again. As we go, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Yeah, you guys are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming on behalf of the Ramos family and Calvary Chapel Honolulu. Bless you guys. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you.